Blog Talk Radio.
See, I can kind of recall a little ways back, all trying to ball, always been black, and my hair I tried it all, I even went flat, had a gummy curly top and all that crap. Now, trying to be appreciated, happy-headed brothers never had no ladies. Then I hit the barbershop real quick, had a pretty little twist, and it drove me crazy. Then I couldn't get no job, corporate wasn't hiring, no dreadlock. Then I thought about my dog from the block, kinda understand why the clothes are stealing rock. Was it the hair that got me this far? All these girls, these cribs, these cars. I hate to say it, but it seems so flawed. Success didn't come till I cut it all off.
Little girl with a breast curl, AJ, I got a Jerry curl. 13 and I got a relaxer. I was a source of so much laughter. 15 when it all broke off. 18 when I went all natural. February 2002, I went on and did what I had to do. Because it was time to change my life. Become the woman I am inside. 97 dreadlocks all gone.
I am not my hair. Welcome, everybody, to our Inner Healers Radio. We're providing online guidance to help people remember how to connect with their natural inner state of health. My name is Luciana Stiglich, and I will be your host today. As you know, Inner Healers Radio is part of Inner Healers, an integrative health-oriented concept that considers all the answers we look for reside inside. It is by reaching inside that we can live healthy, happy lives. Those who resonate with this concept have been writing back and contacting each other, with whom we're starting a loving and caring worldwide community of like-minded souls. This is why a company under the same name has been created in Peru, to help sustain both the concept and the community. We believe in broadening minds and lessening frontiers, for it's not about where we are based, but about remembering we are all inner healers. To learn more about Inner Healers, you can find us at www.innerhealers.com. These shows are made for and because of you, so feel free to share your questions and comments with us online. The call-in number is 347-826-9216. Lines open 15 minutes before the show ends. Our guest for today is Toni Petrinovic. She's a master teacher, metaphysician, and quantum physics researcher who instructs spiritual seekers how to see, hear, understand, and express from their core through their heart the voice of the soul, and from there into infinity. Help me welcome Toni. Hello, Toni.
Hi, so good to be back with you. I like coming here every month. This is a fun place to be.
Hi, Toni. Thank you. Thanks for being with us today. Thanks for sharing all your light with us as well.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. My pleasure. So we're going to
Our topic for today is self-approval.
Right. And you had said that you were going to do self-esteem for this month. And so I wanted to kind of move that out of the esteem world, which is great, into approving of yourself. And interestingly enough, I just got out of a class with a person who spent the entire class talking to me about approving of himself. So that was pretty cool because it just segued right into this particular interview. And it really had to do with taking a stance for you and knowing that you're completely responsible and capable of creating anything that you desire in your life, and what do you want to create? So it was really fun. And what we came down to is, you know, back to what I'd like to talk about, your pirate self, the part of you that says, I know who I am, I know what I am, and I approve of it, and I approve of me, and I don't care whether you approve of me or not, because I approve of me, and that's the most important part. And once you do that, once you get to that place, then self-esteem is easy to come by. Self-esteem just kind of pops in on its own as soon as you begin to truly approve of you as what you really are.
Mm-hmm. I like you made this video called Waking Up Your Inner Pirate, which I thought it was really interesting, you know, because part of what you say is that even though we might fall into confusion, there's always this pirate talking to us from the inside, right?
Right, right. And I call it the inner pirate. I'm sure other people have other, you know, names or words for it, but I happen to like pirates, only because, not piratism as from the standpoint of, you know, stealing people's money and taking ships, but the stand that basically I saw in Pirates of the Caribbean, especially Curse of the Black Pearl. It was played by Captain Jack Sparrow, who always just says, I'm Captain Jack Sparrow. You forget when you're addressing me or you think I can't do something that I'm Captain Jack Sparrow. And we each have within us the full ability to grasp hold of, the way you would grasp hold of a pirate sword, our own knowing of who and what we are, and to demonstrate that in our life. And yet, what people usually do is end up not doing that because they believe that something's going to happen to them if they make a stance for themselves. So it's much more about attempting to follow preferred beliefs or preferred ways of social conditioning, and thinking that if you place your attention on that, everyone's going to like you and care about you and think better of you. And what happens is that after a while you begin to realize that it doesn't change the way people see you at all. They just realize that they can pretty much make you do anything that they want you to. And people become very unhappy when this happens. And the self-worth becomes very low, diminished, because over and over again a person sees themselves being used. And after a while it becomes a habit. And then the habit becomes almost a conviction, where a person will say, well, that's just the way life is. And it isn't just the way life is. Life is meant to be experienced and to really spend our days having fun and loving being alive. And if you don't approve of yourself, then it's almost impossible to do that, because there's always, you know, you're always waiting for the next shoe to drop, so to speak.
So that's when we compromise ourselves.
Right, exactly. And I love the word compromise, because it's made up of come and promise. It's kind of like, come promise me this, you know. Come promise me that you'll be this way or that way. I mean, think about relationships, like, for instance, husband and wife, and how the roles have been defined over the years of what a husband will do and what a wife will do, or what a boyfriend will do, or what a girlfriend will do, or how a mother is supposed to act towards her child, or a teacher towards a student. There's all these roles that we begin to believe are real, and then we create a reality around that. And when we don't fulfill the aspects or the belief about how that reality is supposed to happen, then we begin to doubt our own self-worth. And yet, in truth, there's no reality out there except the reality you define according to your beliefs. And a lot of times those beliefs are simply literally given to you. Sometimes I think about people's beliefs sort of being pasted on them, like with glue, like you'll believe this and you'll believe this and you'll believe this, and now this is who you are. And inside they're saying, but that's not who I am. No one really knows who I am except me. And to be able to express yourself that authentically, so the only thing that defines you is you, that's your really inherent reality. And that gives you your self-esteem. That gives you your self-approval. And yet it's all about focusing on that and focusing on what really makes you happy, what really makes you excited. So when you look in the mirror, you know, you can see yourself radiating back at yourself, because you know that you're living in the most real way possible for you in this moment. And in the next moment, it could change.
So what you're saying is that the more that we know ourselves, then the more we are able to know how much we're worth.
Exactly. And lots of times, and that's one of the reasons I love so much working through my MediU Mystery School and teaching people how energy works. Because once you understand how energy works and that we're really a standing wave. And what a standing wave is, if you want to think of dropping a pebble in a pond and the waves are going out, they go, you know, two, 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 out. And then as the waves are coming, and they also come back in. The waves that come back in can only be the same wavelength as the waves that go out, because that's the only way that energy works. What goes out is what comes back in. And the movement of both of those at the same time is called a standing wave. And that's what we are. We're standing waves in every cell of our body, every atom, every molecule of our bodies, of our minds, of our consciousness, is this standing wave. And we can only receive from the atmosphere, the environment, what we really believe is real for us. And once we allow ourselves to address everything that doesn't feel real, you know, like somebody will say, I just feel like I'm living such a phony life. I feel like I can't really be me. Well, then to sit down and define, what is me? What is the real you? What is your preferred belief? And when you begin to look at what is your own inherent realness, then you begin to see how empty the rest of life was, and you can begin filling up that emptiness with the definition of what you really want yourself to be defined as in your own mind. And that's what's exciting, because you can accept, you can adopt whatever definition of reality aligns with you, the you that you prefer, and not have to accept what other people put upon you.
So why is it that we sometimes compromise who we really are when we are with other people?
Because we're afraid. We're afraid that if we don't act in a certain way, and that's why I say it becomes a habit. Say there's a person that when you're around them, you always act in a certain way. Well, the first time you were with that person, a certain reality was created in your mind. It was a belief about a certain reality. And you now believe that that is true, that if I have to be this way with this person, or this person won't love me anymore, won't like me, will fire me, will divorce me, will leave me, will, you know, shoot me, whatever the definition of what that person might do to you is in your own mind. So you become afraid to be who you really are because you will, quote unquote, lose that person. Well, the truth of it is that you never really had that person. There's no real relationship there because there isn't any realness happening between you. It's all based on judgment of each other and how you begin to attempt to validate yourself in that person's eyes. And you don't really have an experience that is a real relationship with that person because you're not being who you are. So the only person they know you as is the pretend person, the person that you want them to see. You know, like when two people get together, like say, for instance, at a party or something, a boy and a girl, man and a woman get together, and they're attracted to each other, so they kind of put on their best face, and they're really nice, and they want their breath to be fresh, and they don't want to, you know, eat too much or drink too much, and they want to appear a certain way. So they start dating, and then as time goes by, that doesn't hold very long, and pretty soon they become the personality that is who they really are, and the person says, well, this isn't who I thought I was getting involved with. This isn't how you were when we first met. It's because you put on a false face so that you will be more accepted by that person the way you think that person wants you to be. And we do that with everything. The way people create their resumes for a job. You create your resume dependent upon the kind of job you are applying for. Maybe you've got 25 different talents and gifts and skills that you have, but because you're going to apply for just this kind of a job, you make sure your resume just hits on these points. And it's the same kind of thing with our day-to-day relationships with people. We make sure that they only see the part of us that we think they're going to approve of, because we're afraid we're going to lose them. So then there's always the question, what does this person represent to you, or this situation represent to you, that you don't want to lose them and that you're willing to become something that you're really not, so that you can keep this particular situation going? And it's a real question for people. I mean, this is actually what I was just doing in this class with this fellow. We were going through him looking at how he really felt about everything that was happening in his life so that he could understand where he'd lost his own approval. And if you don't approve of yourself, then basically you don't approve of anybody else, because you can't give somebody something you don't have. You can't say, well, I think this person is wonderful and beautiful and great, and really mean it if you don't think the same thing of yourself. You might say that, but what you're really saying is, I'm jealous of this person. So what you really want to do is to look inside of you to see what you need to feel complete and satisfied with yourself inside of you. And it's really not as big as it looks. I mean, it sounds like, wow, this is a huge step, and how in the world could I possibly do that? And it's really not that difficult. I mean, it's really very simple. And what I always tell people to do is just sit down and write down during the day, you know, take maybe every hour or every 2 hours or whatever is convenient for you, and write down the feelings you've just experienced, so that you can actually look at them at the end of the day and say, okay, when this happened, I felt this way. When this happened, I felt this way. When this happened, I felt that way. And after you do that for a week, you begin to see a pattern. And you realize how you put yourself in situations that demean you. If you're feeling demeaned, or if you're feeling like you're having some problem with self-esteem, you actually set yourself up for it. Nobody's doing anything to you that you're not letting them do to you. And then you can decide what you need to change to create a new belief around what you are going to be and how you're going to represent yourself. And that's when the pirate comes in, because sometimes you need to really be sort of in your own face and just say, I'm just not, enough is enough. I'm just not going to be this way anymore. I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm not going to let this happen to me anymore. I'm creating this for myself. Now, what do I want to do to change my reality? Sort of like painting a picture, you know? Just got this great big empty canvas in front of you. What do you want to paint? You've got a realm of infinite possibilities. Anything is possible. So what do you want it to be for you? And every time the mind comes up and says, well, yeah, Tony, that's great, except if I be this, then that's going to happen, whatever that is. How do you know that? It's just your mind telling you that it's afraid that you're going to, something's going to result in an uncomfortable situation for you. How do you know that that's true? You don't know. Not until you try it, give it a go. And many times people are very pleasantly surprised because the fear that the mind creates is always about separation. And once we say, well, you know, that's fine.
That's just the word I was about to ask you. You just read my mind. I was just about to ask you that. If this fear had to do with our inner fear for separation.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it's all about the ego personality wanting to stay separate because that supposedly feels safe, which is really kind of funny. I think it's a joke. It's kind of like we play this joke on ourselves because the ego personality says, I have to stay separate to be safe. If I join up with this person in this kind of a relationship or in this kind of a business or in this kind of a community, then I'm not going to be worth what I think I'm going to be worth. You know, all these things come up. And so the ego personality tries to keep you separate through fear. And yet what everybody is looking for is connection. I mean, that's what you see. You see it. I mean, why is Facebook, you know, worth now billions and billions of dollars? Because people can go there to connect. And, you know, the connecting is like so superfluous. You know, I'll buy your fake farm sheep and you can buy my fake farm cattle or whatever, you know, the games everybody plays. But what they're looking for is connection. And that's because there's not enough real connection in their life. And a lot of people stay on Facebook and other social networks because there's not enough real connection in their life. And yet if you let yourself be who you really are and present yourself as you really are, to the world at large, you will find that there are many, 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 many people who resonate with you in many different ways, and there's huge surprises to be had from the standpoint of the relationship that you can have with other people. I mean, I can speak for myself. I mean, I'm totally always surprised at who is going to become part of my, you know, network, so to speak. I just advertised a group MetaU class, and I thought, I wonder who's going to come to this club because we only had room for four students. And the four people who showed up, I would never in a million years have thought it was going to be those four people. And I'm just so overjoyed because here's four people who are basically strangers to me. Three of them I barely know and one I don't know at all, that I'm going to get to know really well. Simply because I opened the door and said, okay, four people, sign up here and we'll do this. And these four people said, it's us, it's me, I want to do it. And it wasn't like six people showed up and I had to tell two people no. Exactly four people came, one at a time. And then after four people were here, we closed the door and nobody said, oh, but I wanted to. I mean, it was just these four people who were going to show up to make this group work perfectly. So it's always so exciting. I mean, we can do this with anything. We can do it going to the grocery store. You know, how focused and attentive are you when you park your car and walk into the supermarket? Who knows what's going on in there? Could be anything. And that ability to be focused and attentive to the fact that we are all in this together then takes that idea that separation is important away and replaces it with the belief that we can all experience each other in really delicious, nummy ways if we will simply allow it without being afraid of what other people are going to think about us. Because that's all, what it all boils down to, is what other people are thinking about us, as though we would ever know. I mean, no one's ever going to tell you the truth anyway, so you might as well give that up from the get-go and just be who you are, brutally honest with yourself, and truly be who you are so that other people can start to do that as well.
Why do you think it is so difficult for us to focus on who we are?
Well, mainly because we've never been taught. I mean, think about it. When a baby is born, the baby has absolutely no need or thought or belief about anything except itself. It's just 100%.
Right.
Pardon me?
Right, yes.
Yeah, it's just 100% that baby. And it wants to be fed, and it wants to be held, and it wants to be changed, and it wants to be cuddled, and it wants, and it just keeps saying it over and over again. And at first, of course, mom loves it, and then pretty soon this gets to be kind of old, and then we kind of have to separate from the child a little bit and make the child do its own thing. And we're still okay. The child's, you know, figuring out the world. But then as soon as it begins to get into, like, say, 1.5, 2, when the child begins to say, okay, this is my world, and then mom and dad go, oh, now wait a minute. This is who you are. We brought you into the earth, and this is who we want you to be. And this happens almost every single time. I can't say every single time because I don't know that to be true, but I would say almost every single time a child is born. Mom and dad decide how that child is going to be raised, how it's going to portray itself as it's growing up, and they literally try to shape the child into whatever they believe the child is supposed to be. And that's the beginning of not being able to be yourself, because nobody is telling you it's okay to be you. Fortunately, as the transformation of our consciousness within the earth is occurring, as it is at present time, more and more people are becoming aware of this, and more people are raising their children. And I don't mean that you can just let your child run wild and just do whatever he or she wants, but giving space for the child to actually portray what its natural habits, its natural traits, its gifts, its talents are, and then fostering those so that the child grows naturally into the kind of being that it is inherently as it came into this earth. It brought these gifts with it. Okay, so let's foster these gifts rather than saying, no, I want you to be a doctor, or no, you always have to work hard. I mean, how many people who are listening right now, I'm 63, and I would say that probably everybody who is my age and maybe the generation after us and definitely the generation before us was taught that you have to work really, really hard to make a living. And if you're not working really, really hard and you're not tired because you're working really, really hard, you're not worth anything. So the idea that making work easy, doing what makes you happy, and really blooming and blossoming into everything you can possibly think of that you are talented at is something we were never told to do. We were never taught that or supported in it. So there's no support for it in this dimension, with the exception of places like tribes or like, you know, South America or the outback in Australia, where there are still real tribes who say, you know, the child is here. What does the child seem to be natural at? And then the child begins to be fostered in whatever it has a natural propensity for doing. Knowing, because they have such a holistic viewpoint, knowing that all of the various needs of the community will be filled by all of the people there, provided each one gets an opportunity to do that which is most natural to them. And that's something that we don't even talk about in our culture, any Western culture, anywhere. Does not, and by Western I mean anything that is supposedly a sophisticated, industrialized culture, never even begins to think of what comes naturally to a person. It's what will make you the most money, give you the best position, and the most power. And that's how people begin to form themselves. And they find out that it doesn't make them happy. And yet they don't know where to go, because there's no place to go where you can go to, you know, go to self-support school and learn this. But like I said, fortunately, there's lots of workshops and different mystery schools and things like my own that have cropped up that have said, okay, you know, walk this way. Come on over here. I'm going to show you something different. And if it resonates with you, give it a go. If it doesn't, fine. Eventually, you'll find something that does. And allows people to begin to see themselves as more than just the worker bee.
You were talking about children. You're a mother and you're also a grandmother. What advice would you give parents regarding how to teach their kids about helping them to develop self-approval?
Well, I think partially, first of all, the parent has to approve of him or herself. If the parent isn't self-approving, they're going to have a really hard time approving of their child. Because the child, though the child comes from inside the mother, et cetera, once the child begins to form its own personality, it begins to be very apparently a separate being and is seen that way, even though most parents would say, you know, I love my children and I want the best for them, et cetera, all of that is colored by what they believe that to mean. So I think it's really important that parents, first of all, approve of themselves, and then if they are able to reach that standpoint, even in the smallest amount, that they give their children support in what makes their children happy, in what the child really wants to do. I can think of a lot of, you know, just people I know. I can think of a woman right now who has this son who is just, his talent at architecture at the age of 7 just defies your imagination. I mean, anything that has, anything he can tear up, like, you know, popsicle sticks or paper or anything, he just starts building buildings, little miniature buildings, and it just comes absolutely natural to him. And his mother is fixated on the fact that his bedroom isn't clean. And when, you know, I'm around them, that's all she wants to talk about. And he's just fixated on creating buildings. And I've talked to her about, you know, maybe backing off a little bit about the bedroom and perhaps, you know, coming to some realization that you have, you know, a mini genius running around here. And she doesn't want to hear much about it, so I've stopped talking about it. But I'm talking about that kind of attention that you put on your children so that you can see what they have a natural propensity for, because every child exhibits that in one way or another, and then to encourage that, which is not to say that it might not change. You know, the child, you know, using that same example, this 7-year-old might grow up to be 18 and say, oh, I really changed my mind. I, on the sideline, you know, I'll build little buildings on my own land, but I really want to be, you know, a doctor or a truck driver or whatever he wants to be. But to foster what they see in the child in such a way that the child feels approved in its natural skills. And when that happens, then the door just opens wide to self-approval, because the child's only doing what comes naturally to it. You know, no one's taught it to do this. And if we watch children playing and seeing what they like to play with, and there are huge, enormous imaginations that create whole worlds out of nothing, that's creation. So when a parent allows themselves to, and really I mean allows themselves to foster this, then the child gets a chance to really bloom and grow and just head in the direction that is most natural for it. But as I said at the beginning of that this part of the conversation, it's only going to happen if the adult has enough approval of him or herself to do so.
So do you think that maybe working on their own self-approval, you know, parents can help them put themselves beside so that they can really pay attention to what their children need from them, right?
Well, yes. That's kind of a two-edged sword. If they have enough self-approval, they won't need to put themselves aside. And yet I know that you mean they won't need to pay so much attention to themselves because they'll already have enough attention being paid to themselves because of their self-approval. And yet what you find is that parents who have high self-esteem and are really comfortable with themselves will interact with the child and grow more within themselves because of the interaction. So the game that the child is playing becomes a learning tool for the parent also. So the parent doesn't necessarily have to, quote-unquote, put himself aside from the standpoint of ignore himself, but watch his or her own capacity to be more creative, more imaginative, to release the concrete hold on how things should be so that the world begins to expand for the child and the parent together. And it can be as simple as, you know, a coloring book or out in the backyard building something. You know, I mean, if whatever it is, it's something that is an expansive presence that the two of them are creating together that not only creates something, you know, a sandcastle, it also creates a bond between the child and the parent that makes each of them approve of each other. So it's easier for the child to obey the parent, and it's easier for the parent to instruct the child. And then there becomes this really nice dance between the two of them. And
so that's when they grow together.
They grow together, yeah, definitely. And sometimes it takes a little patience on the side of the parent, because not every parent wants to spend 2 hours sitting, you know, in the sand pile with the child. And I'm not trying to say that you have to. What I am saying is that if you give yourself even, say the child's going to be outside playing in his sandbox for 2 hours, if you give yourself half an hour of that time with the child, that will be more than enough for you to really understand what the child is doing, for you to really enhance yourself, and then sit back and let the child do what he wants to do, because children are very self-entertaining. They really don't need a lot of, you know, the adults doing things with them, by and large. And if you'll just set them up so that they can have something that they put their full attention on, then you can watch it happen, and this grows you, because most parents are in this multitasking mode of how much can I get done in one moment versus saying, okay, this afternoon is all for me and my child on a regular basis. And that's basically what's missing in our society, is that mm-hmm. children don't have that time with their parents.
Right. So yesterday I saw this phrase, I guess it was Marianne Williamson, the one who posted. She says, "The universe holds nothing against you. It is always ready to start over. Only your own condemnation of self or other can stop the otherwise constant flow of miracles into your life." What do you think about this?
Oh, I think it's wonderful. And that's what's wonderful about the present moment, is this starting over thing. You know, there's so much talk about the present moment and the now moment and Eckhart Tolle's wonderful books and things of that nature. The universe is always in the present moment. The present is always, there isn't anything besides the present. If you're thinking about the past, you're thinking about it in the present. If you're thinking about the future, you're thinking about it in the present. The present is the only thing that exists. So in that, in every single breath, in every single inhale and exhale, you have an opportunity to be different in this moment, the universe starting over, because creation only occurs in the present moment, in this now moment. That's the only place you can create from. And anything that you decide that you want to change or be different, or a belief that you say, this doesn't work for me anymore, if you bring it really into this present moment, then you can create it in this present moment, and then you can create it again in the next present moment, and watch yourself holding it instead of your past belief or whatever it is that you're trying not to do again or feel again or experience again, until this becomes the new you. I have a watch that my partner Philip gave me, which I just love, and it has, For the numbers, you know, like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, it just has little gold dots, and then in front of every gold dot is the word now. So every time I look at my watch right now, it is, you know, 20 minutes to now. And I just love it because it's always now, and now is always there. It's always forgiving. It now doesn't care if you go away. And if I start thinking about, oh, yeah, yesterday I did this, this, and this, when I come back to now is just sitting here waiting for me. Now is always ready to recreate, as Marianne was saying. It's always ready to create a new whatever. And you can decide what that whatever is going to be. What are you going to create? And that's to me, that's what's so fun, is because there's something, and it takes, you don't have to carry anything with you. You don't need any tools, techniques. You don't need any baggage. All you need is now. All I need is me and right now, and I've got everything that I need, because in this now I can create whatever I want to create. And that becomes what I am calling my future, because it is in this now moment that I create my future. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Definitely does. So the more we are able to stay in the now, you know, consciously, totally in the now, we will be able to develop a healthy self-approval state. Yes?
Right. And so here we are in this present moment, and anybody who's listening, you know, can kind of go along with me. And so feel inside yourself, feel inside, you know, quiet down your mind, and just stop for a moment and just survey your internal environment and see what's sort of playing on the image screen of your mind when you think about approving of yourself, having high self-esteem, putting yourself on a pedestal. What a great idea. You know, really placing a strong, strong bet on yourself that you really know who you are, you know what actions to take, you know what thoughts you want to think, you know what words you want to say. And just see what's playing on your mind right now instead of that. And realize that in this moment, you can make another choice. All you have to decide is how you want to be, how you want to appear in this moment, and then in this moment, and then in this moment. And every time something happens that drags you away from this moment because you get distracted or you start thinking about something or somebody says something to you and you get caught in the illusion of it all, you can just come back to right here in this moment and say, oh, but I want to feel like this. I want to be this way. Because you're creating the present in every single moment. So in actuality, you're not ever creating a future, because though you think there's a future out there, the future doesn't exist. You're creating what you're going to experience in the next 10 minutes by what you're experiencing right now. So what do you want to experience in the next 10 minutes? That's what you want to be experiencing right now, so that you can create that standing wave that will bring that to you. That's why, like, the law of attraction that's got such a big press, you know, everybody's talking about the law of attraction and the secret and all these things. That's what that's about. And yet, basically, those two terms are sort of like the lowest common denominator. It's trying to get people to understand that what you are thinking and feeling is what you attract. But if you... And I just recently put up some standing waves on my webpage so people can actually look at them moving. If you realize that there is no way that you cannot attract what you're truly feeling to you, you always will. There's no way you cannot do that, because that is the way that this particular dimension works. Then you can decide if you really want to focus on what you would desire to experience in each moment, because if you want it to come to you, you have to know it's there rather than wanting it. You know, you hear people say, well, if you concentrate on wanting, then you just get more wanting.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. If you concentrate on knowing that the house of your dreams, let's just use that, is there, and you just concentrate on it and concentrate on it and concentrate on it, and that's the only thing you concentrate on, you just know it's there, then you will eventually end up in that house. You cannot not end up in that house. But what happens is that people get afraid that it's not going to happen, and the fear becomes stronger in the standing wave than the knowing. And then it doesn't happen because of the fear. And that's the part that is the offset. And that's why it's important to be able to practice this with small things, so that you can do it well with small things, so that when it comes to something that you want to create and manifest that's bigger, you're able to do it easily because you've practiced with small things and you've seen it happen.
And that's also very interesting, right? Because when you talk about fear, fear has to do with something we remember that happened previously, or it has to do with something we are afraid will happen in the future. But there's not actual fear in the now, is there?
No, there's no fear in right now. Fear is about fear of the past, like, you know, every time I do this, that happens, and I don't want to do that, I'm afraid I'm going to do it again. Or because I always keep experiencing these kinds of things, I'm afraid that this is going to happen in the future. It's likely to happen in the future. So actually, it's serving you because it's showing you what you're believing in. It's showing you that you're believing in a reality that you really don't prefer to believe in. So it's like your alarm going off or your blinking red light. It's an indicator that says you're believing in a reality that isn't aligned with what you say you want. And then once you become aware of it, that's when you can choose to change the belief. So it's really about allowing yourself to get in touch with the belief that causes the fear so that you can feel it, own it, and then say, okay, what do I want to do to replace this belief? Somebody asked me once, not too long ago, what we needed to do to dissolve old beliefs. And I said, you don't have to dissolve anything. All you have to do is replace it. The universe will recycle the energy quite nicely. You know, that's its job. All you need to do is decide what you want to adopt as your new belief, breathe into it, trust that this is what you want to experience in your being, and it'll simply happen. And then, just because habits are habits, every time the old one starts to pop up, you go, no, not that anymore, this one. This is what I want now. It's sort of like deciding to drive a different way, say, to the supermarket, using the supermarket analogy again, because we all end up there sooner or later, or a grocery store of some kind. And if you always go the same way, it becomes such a habit that you can just get in the car, and it's almost like the car drives itself there because you don't have to think, because you always go that way. And then you decide that you don't want to go that way anymore. You want to go a new way, and you have to actually think about it. And the next time you go out, you have to actually think about it again. And maybe the next time not as much, and the next time not as much. And pretty soon this is the new habit. It's the same thing with beliefs. All you need to do is to constantly remember that you have decided to believe in a different way. And it literally, physically creates in our biology, in our brain, a new pathway for the electricity, the synapse, to fire. And I sometimes think of it like, you know, if you're driving down a road and you see a big barrier and it says road closed, new road being formed over here, you know, and you're literally forming a new road within your own physical brain so that the information is now flowing in a different direction. And you're capable of doing this. You're the only one who is really capable of doing it because it's your brain. So simply knowing what it is that you don't want to believe anymore, deciding what you do want to believe, owning the new belief, and just saying, this is my new belief now. This is what I'm going to accept. This is what I'm going to adopt. This is the way I'm going to act. There's a wonderful website that I send people to all the time. It's called rational.org. And it was originally set up by a fellow who released himself from the hold alcohol I had on him. And it's to assist people in releasing themselves from alcohol and chemical dependencies like drugs and dependency on sex. That's his basic three big points. And yet it can be for anything. And that's why I send a lot of people there, because you can use it for anything. And he's got these little flip cards that you use, like just like you would, you know, use these little flip cards to test yourself on the times tables, except it's constantly reiterating a new belief for yourself. And one of the things that he stresses, and he had a wonderful program that's been, you know, accepted by the state of California. Now if you get a DUI and you need to go to some kind of school to get, you know, rehabilitation, you can use his school. I mean, he's really done a fantastic job. And what he always says is, once you've made the decision that you're no longer going to drink or use drugs or be obsessed by sex or gambling or whatever, once you've made that decision and you've stated it to the family or your family or whoever it is that you are impacting by your particular behavior. Once you've made the decision and it's made, do not let anybody talk to you about the fact that that's what you used to do. You're not recovering from anything. You're not attempting to release an addiction. You have simply changed the way you see yourself. Now act that way only, and don't let anybody else drag you back into the feelings from the past. And I think it's really, really important, and that's a pretty, you know, extreme case, that we do that with everything. Own what the belief is, because you can't change something that you don't own, and then say, what do I want to replace it with? I want to replace it with my own self-approval. I will approve of everything I am doing, from the coconut cream pie I put in my mouth to the chanting I do in the morning before I go to work. It doesn't make any difference what it is. I approve of every thought and action, and anything that I feel that I don't approve of, I will simply change it. And you're free, because then you're in charge of yourself. You're focused on yourself. You're in command of yourself, and nobody else has any say about it. If somebody else doesn't like it, well, let them go change themselves. They don't need to change you. Let them tend to their own house. Then you're really being the most that you can be. You're being fully who you are, because that's the fulfillment of your purpose. Remember, this incarnation of you, this version of you, will never, ever occur again. It's a one-time shot. You might incarnate in a million different dimensions and in a million different types of bodies, but you, as you are right now, is as unique as can be. And to approve of that uniqueness, that's what you really want. And only you can give yourself that.
So actually the more you approve of yourself, you can remember you are source consciousness, your source manifesting, yes?
Right, exactly. One thing leads to another. The more you approve of everything you're doing, the more you realize that you're sourcing itself. And I always get a kick out of it when people start talking about what's good and bad and right and wrong and evil and all these things. However you see God, however you see source, all that is, whatever name you want to use for it, the originating point of everything, when it manifested everything. It said, so to speak, I want to experience everything. It didn't say I want to experience everything except this, this, and this. It said I want to experience everything. And that's what it's doing through us. We are source sourcing itself. We are source experiencing in these bodies. So how do we want to experience? What do we want to experience? And once we can answer those questions truthfully and fully and really own the answer, then there is nothing left but self-esteem and high self-worth and self-approval. Because you realize that you are, like I like to say, God in form, and that this is what you've decided to experience right now.
Mm-hmm. So what would you say are the practical steps, or which practical steps can you tell our listeners as an advice on how to learn or let ourselves self-approve of whatever we do?
Well, the first thing I would have people do is to sit down and make a list, and I do this at the beginning of my MetaU class. It's the first two lessons. This is what we do, is to make a list of what you believe is true about you, your life, your work, your family, about love, about religion, about everything. Just write it down so that you can actually look at it, and then start going backwards in it and find out where these beliefs came from, so that you can begin to gauge how real your beliefs are versus what you want them to be. Because the inherent reality of you is inside of you. So most of the beliefs that you have, that you've adopted for yourself, you've adopted because your parents gave them to you, your teachers, your priests, ministers, rabbis, your culture, your peer group. People give you what they want you to believe, and you decide to believe it for whatever reason you decide in the moment. Sometimes you don't even know you're doing it. So to define what those beliefs are is the first step. And then, once you define what your beliefs are at present, then define what you would like to believe about the same things. And look at how you really feel about each of those beliefs. Once you do that, you can begin to create the new reality for yourself that allows you to approve of you. Say, for instance, somebody else says to you, well, I wouldn't be unhappy if it wasn't for you. You can write down on your paper, in my relationship with so-and-so, I believe I'm at fault for making this person unhappy. You know inside of yourself you don't believe that, but they always say it to you. So you keep, you know, sticking with it and trying to figure out how to do things differently. If you say, from now on, I am not going to believe that that is true anymore, and you really allow yourself to feel it, the next time this person says, I wouldn't be so unhappy if it wasn't for you, you can say, well, let's sit down and talk about it. Tell me how I make you unhappy. And when you begin to sit with a person, and just using this example as an example, when you begin to sit with a person and start to ask questions about it, you not only see yourself, they get a chance to see themselves, and the two of you can decide what's going on between the two of you, that you're in this very uncomfortable dance together, and you can use the new belief you have that it is not my responsibility how happy this person is to solve the issue around the two of you in whatever relationship it is, just using that as an example. Each piece has an opportunity for you to decide from the realm of infinite possibilities how you want it to appear, because it's up to you. Nobody else can do this for you but you. And all beliefs are equally valid. All beliefs are equally real. You simply have to decide which ones are going to be real for you, because as soon as you do that, all of a sudden you'll realize, without even trying to, your self-esteem shoots through the roof, and you totally approve of yourself, because you're not trying to become something else than what you really are just to please somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
There's really a...
You know, this topic... I'm sorry. You know, this topic, which self-esteem topic, in your case, self-approval topic, was becoming several topics due to the amount of people that were requesting us to share our light about it. Why do you think this is an important topic nowadays?
Because there is so much happening on the earth right now that there is such upheaval. I mean, look at the weather, look at the economy, look at the wars, look at the starvation, the flooding that's going on. There is so much happening, and there's no place to turn anymore. One country can't turn to another. One economic banking system can't turn to another one, because everybody's in the same chaotic space, which means that something is attempting to change. A lot of people think that chaos is a negative word. It isn't. It's part of how everything works. It's chaos to order to chaos to order to chaos to order. That's how it works. Chaos means more information is coming out. So as more information comes out, what it is making everyone do is to look at their piece in the whole. They can't help but do that, because there's no one, it's almost as though there's no one at the helm of the ship anymore. Even though all the leaders of the countries are pretending like they're doing things, they're really not doing a lot. And there's nobody really leading the parade anymore, which is great, because now everybody's getting a chance to say, okay, what about my parade? What am I doing with my life? How am I going to feed myself? What if there is going to be a food shortage? What if this rain and the snow does continue? How am I going to take care of me? And everybody is beginning to have to turn to themselves. And it's perfect. I mean, everybody kept talking about, I can't wait for the transformation to happen. It's here. We're changing. The transformation is now. We're doing it right now. And we are inviting ourselves to really simply sit back and contemplate how we've created our reality, and if we don't like it, how we want to generate a new reality for ourselves, because nobody else is doing it for us. I think it's dandy. I mean, every day I look at the headlines and I go, oh wow, it amped up even more. Okay, here we go. Hold on, the roller coaster is going.
That's very interesting because it seems like as there is so many people who are wanting to change the, you know, their actual state, then reality is just doing that. You know, it's like the big unconscious, the collective unconscious has really taken us here, you know, to a place where now reality needs to change as well.
Right.
As a result, you know?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, and then we can make ourselves our own best friend and really love ourselves.
Right, which gets us back to our initial topic, which is approving of ourselves. You know, it really has to do with what you say, approving of ourselves as our best friend.
Right, exactly.
Mm-hmm. So how do you think we can implement approving of ourselves in our daily life?
Well, it's basically a moment-to-moment thing, like I was saying, and I would suggest that everybody take an opportunity to look at when they react rather than respond. React means you act again. In other words, somebody does something and you act because of what they've done. Every time something happens, take a breath before you open your mouth or step forward or whatever, and see how you really want to respond, and then invite yourself to do that. And watch and see how your world changes as you tap into what is really true for you versus what somebody else has told you is supposed to be true for you. And the first few steps might feel a little bit like it takes a lot of courage. That's good. Summon the courage and do it, and pretty soon it'll become a habit. And it's a wonderful habit because it sends endorphins to your brain, which tells your brain that you're doing the right thing, that you're on the right track, that you're really building a concrete foundation for yourself, and then you'll really have a place to stand and to stand with yourself as your best friend and to approve of yourself over and over again as you watch yourself constantly do this. It becomes very self-fulfilling and self-feeding. It's a lovely procedure.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that developing our own sense of approval can help our companies do this as well?
I didn't hear everything you said. Developing our own sense of approval can do what?
Do you think that working on our own sense of approval can help our companies as well?
Our confidence?
Our company. You know, business talking, our company.
Oh, business company. Oh, company. Oh, heavens to Betsy, yeah. Yes. Without self-approval, there's no way your company is going to make it, any company. It can't. Unless, the person who's the, what I like to call the hub of the wheel, if you think of a wheel with spokes, the person who starts the company is the hub, always. That's the hub of the wheel. And then the spokes are all the employees or the people who you associate with. And then the wheel, the outside of the wheel, is everybody else you affect. And if the hub itself doesn't stand in integrity and self-approval and know itself to be in a state of harmony and well-being and alignment with what's going on, the wheel will never hold. It'll fall apart. So every company is literally inherently reliant upon self-approval from the core of the company. And to the degree that that is extended out into the employees, to that degree will the company thrive. A lot of companies fail because the hub does not know how to extend that same self-appreciation out into the employees, and they all feel just like they're, you know, servants or slaves, and that doesn't make for good social relations with the consumer, with the people who are going to be using your company for whatever kind of company it is. It's absolutely the hinge pin of the whole company. Yes, you're right. Definitely.
Mm-hmm. So are there any inner or outer signs to indicate that we are actually living with a healthy degree of self-approval?
Well, if you know you're happy, if your health is good and you feel wonderful and your life is exciting. I mean, I like to say that sometimes you wake up every morning when you are living in a state of self-approval. You wake up every morning and each day feels like you're opening up a Christmas box that has a great big red ribbon around it, and you don't know what the day's going to hold, and you can't wait to find out. If that's how your day is, if that's how your life feels, then that's a good sign that you're living in a state of self-approval. If you get up in the morning and you have to drag yourself out of bed and you just don't even want to start the day, then you're not in a good state of self-approval. You're acting and believing things that aren't real for you, so you're having to drag yourself through them because they're not feeding you or nurturing you. One of my daughters asked me the other day what I do to replenish myself, because she says, you work like 24/7. What do you do to replenish yourself? And I said, I don't even know what you're talking about. What do you mean? She goes, well, you need to take time off so that you can refuel yourself. I said, I don't expend any energy when I'm working. I love absolutely everything I'm doing. I don't need to replenish myself. My work replenishes me. So I don't need to take time off. If I take time off, it's because I want to do something that is decidedly quiet just for me, like perhaps read a specific research book, or right now I'm learning new software on Sunday is my day to just concentrate on that. But other than that, I'm mixing it up and interacting and teaching. I love to do it. So it's really the signposts are your own happiness, real happiness, not, you know, pretend, but the real inner satisfaction that you get with what you're doing and what is happening in your life.
Mm-hmm. So one last question. How do we pass from feeling a victim in our lives, you know, because everything that happened to us and because we don't know what we're going to do with our future and et cetera, et cetera, to asking ourselves how we wish to demonstrate our most cherished attitudes and talents?
Well, first of all, I would go back to what I said about writing down your beliefs, because nothing happened to you. No matter what it was, it didn't happen to you. Everyone is a co-creator of absolutely every experience in their life, and this goes without any exception. And in that, you can decide how you want to look at what you can call a conflict or some horrible thing that you believe happened to you and you're the helpless victim. You're never helpless and you're never a victim. It doesn't even exist. It is a belief system that has been created in our culture that isn't real. And what I would do is sit down and write down the beliefs I have about why I am a victim. And then rather than trying to sit there and process it and go through it and heal this person and save that person and absolve that person, I would simply say, okay, if I believe I'm a victim in this situation, what do I want to replace that belief with? Period. Because you can only be in that victim state if you're agreeing within yourself to be in that victim state. And if you choose not to be in that particular victim state, then you will literally change that belief for yourself. So you're literally shifting your vibration, because you can only experience what you have agreed to experience. I've had things happen in my life that people have said, oh, my God, look what happened to you. And I say, nothing happened to me. This was a creation with me and this person or this situation, and look at how we are working with this. Look at where this is going. Look at what we're creating out of this, even if I'm the only one doing it. I don't really care about what the other people are doing or feeling. It's just not important. The only thing that's important is how I am going to hold judgment or non-judgment, whether I'm going to be polarized in some kind of opposition in a duality, or whether I decide to simply say, my belief is I am whole, I am well, nothing can happen to me, and I am going to literally only bring into my experience those experiences that I want to have now that I know that this is possible. It's really about taking charge and owning the fact that you are the creator, the builder of all of your own patterns, your actions, your emotions, your beliefs. and whether you want to stay in that victim state. And a lot of people do. A lot of people say, oh, well, you know, you just don't know how bad it was. And, okay, well, I'm not going to talk to you about how bad it was for me because I don't think it was bad. But if you want to stay in that state of it was just so horrible, then all you're going to do is create more and more of that, not necessarily the exact same thing, but those kind of patterns in your life because you've decided that that is who you are. Okay, great, no judgment here. Have a good time. Let me know when you're done. I'm not interested in being in interacting in that. There's nothing to be enthused about or excited there. I only want things that are fun. I only want to select thoughts and actions that are really aligned with my well-being and my harmony. And if somebody decides that they don't, that's up to them. So I, you know, personally, Luciana, I don't have a lot of space in my life when people do that. And I find sometimes people will sign up for, like, my MetaU course, and then after a few lessons, they'll say, you know, maybe this isn't the course for me. And I'll go, no, it's not, because you're not ready to abandon the beliefs that are keeping you submerged in this world of misery. And you, I'm showing you how the world works. That's all the class does, is show you how the world works, and then you make your own decisions. And some people don't want to make those decisions. They will when they're ready to. Somebody will come along and they'll go, oh, yeah, it's this over here, it's that over there. That's helping me make the decision. That's fine. So it's really about each person making the determination of when they're going to select their time to no longer be a victim in their life.
Right, yes, I know what you're talking about. So our show is almost over. Would you like to add any final questions about this topic?
Well, I just think that everybody should get really excited and enthused about everything they're creating. I mean, look for your passion. And people say, well, I don't have a passion. I don't know how to find my passion. Okay, here's how you find your passion. Sit down, again, with a piece of paper and a pen, and write down absolutely everything you like to do. Don't leave anything out. Make it 100, 1,000, I don't care how many items there are. Then start with the one you like the least, cross it off, and start working yourself up the next least like, the next and the next and the next, until you're left with one thing. That's your passion. And then do whatever it is you need to do to fulfill that passion, no matter what it is. And that will make you really, really, really happy, and every day will be absolutely joyous. But get clear with it. Get clear with what your passion is. So then you can just respond to everything from this place that is your passion, is the prism through which everything in your personality shines, so that the focus that you have of your life is only that which makes you happy through your passion.
Right, thank you. Well, everybody, if you'd like to know more about Toni, or if you'd like to sign up for her courses, or if you'd like to purchase her books, you can go to her website, which is www.yousacred.com. Thank you, Toni, for being with us today.
Oh,
it was a real
you.
Pleasure, as always.
Thank you very
thanks very much
okay.
for sharing your light with us.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Have a wonderful week. Big hug. Bye-bye.